Welcome back, everybody, to the Dom and Colin podcast for another episode recap of The Challenge Season 37, Spies, Lies, and Allies. We've got the team back together. No partner stealing this week as, of course, I am Matt, joined by my partner, my co-host, Brian Scally. Scally, how are you?
Oh, I've been praying to Mike the situation, and luckily it seems like it has worked. We are both back here. Thank you to Jenny for filling in, but did have major Jenny FOMO listening last week.
Jenny for filling in.
Ah, there you go.
Had a great time with Jenny. I had my own FOMO when you were with Matt the week before. We have some great friends and great friends who are also great podcasters. So it all works out being us, and now we're back together.
It does. And yeah, you know, just like Gabo's goal with Nani, luckily it worked out better for us.
Yeah. Just, you know, I've always compared myself to Gabo, and our goals are pretty similar in life. And as far as, you know, this particular goal, yeah, it's working out a lot better for us. So I don't know.
That's fair. I guess I'm a Nani type.
Okay. I can kind of see that.
Like, yeah. I mean, yeah.
I feel like... You both are very well liked in your circles.
Oh, okay. I was going to go with like drunkenly dropping bowls of ramen noodles around the house, but sure, either one works.
That's not my experience with you when you've been drinking, but I mean, it's only happened a handful of times.
That's fair.
Usually you just fall asleep.
Yeah, I am much more the happy and then sleep rather than making too big of a mess.
And cuddle on the couch with Kirsten or whoever's available.
I mean, it's known to happen.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. What episode are we on? Who knows? Who cares? I'm sure you know, but that's fine. We got another two people out of the house this week, one by conventional means with an elimination and one injury. So we've got a lot to talk about this week. I feel like, as I said to you before we got on here, I feel like we're kind of like in the middle of 17 different storylines right now. So we're going to be kind of all over the place. I don't even know. Do you have any place that we should start? Should we start with Anissa? Should we start with one of the showmances? Like, where do we go?
None at all. I am down to jump around or go in order, whatever you want to do. I feel like this episode was pretty straightforward in terms of storytelling, but there were quite a few stories that they were trying to tell at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we can kind of start with what we kind of left off with last week, of course, the whole betrayal and everything with Fessy and Amber. You didn't get to comment on all that last week. What were you feeling while you were watching all that?
Oh, I like Josh now.
No, dude.
Like, whoa. I said that I was coming in here. I said I was coming in this season and I was going to be giving some people like a little bit of rope that I usually would not give. Try to start out on the new foot, really give some people some second chances. And I did not see this coming, but you know, I think the editors want us to be liking Josh and it's working for me. I don't think this is a long-term change, but for now, hey Josh, you could unblock me on Twitter. That would be fine.
He blocked you?
Apparently. I've never tweeted at him, but that happened.
When did you ever like tell anybody about this?
No, I don't think so.
Breaking news.
Newsworthy.
I feel like anytime either current player or anytime somebody gets blocked by, you know, whatever, I feel like people usually talk about it. I'm surprised you didn't tell us.
Yeah, I didn't really think much of it. I only discovered it a couple weeks ago, and I didn't really pay much mind. I don't know when it happened, but it happened. But hey, I'm on Team Josh in this fight, so.
Well, it doesn't matter because he blocked you, so he's never going to know.
That is true. He'll never know.
Any idea what the tweet was that would have sent him over the edge?
I don't. I noticed it shortly around the Big Brother boxing thing where I said it was a great strategy to have so many unlikable people so that I could root against all of them, which maybe wasn't great, but I didn't tag anybody.
Okay.
He might have been one of the likable ones. He doesn't know.
I don't know that I sitting here thinking off the top of my head, I don't know if any of alumni blocked me, but I don't really... especially haven't lately been super active tweeting.
It might be my only challenge block, to my knowledge.
Hmm.
to my knowledge.
Okay. I'm going to sit on that for a bit. Scally's number one enemy in the world, Josh, is kind of where I was going to start off with here, I guess, because, yeah, all that happened at the end of last week's episode. Josh was not happy with Fessy, and we do get a check-in in the early parts of this episode where Josh and Amber are talking, and Amber, for like the fifth confessional she's had since she started the challenge, tells us she has another fire in her ass, she's pissed. She's annoyed that obviously, you know, Fessy turned on her or whatever. Fessy, you know, with that whole move, and we'll get into more of that. And it looks like more of that to come next week as well. But the main storyline of this, it seems to be that Josh is pulling himself away from Casey and Fessy. Not that Casey necessarily needed to pick a side, but they're both kind of just sitting there in agreement that Josh is overreacting, which is quintessential Josh. Just kind of like laughing at Josh and Amber as they're outside having this notebook moment, you know, crying over everything in the rain. And this is where we are.
Yeah, it's strange because, well, first of all, like, glad for Amber, because as she touches on in the aftermath, she went home and learned, like, hey, these people are talking about me behind my back, and it's not something that I really considered while I was in the house. I would have expected her to learn that lesson on Big Brother, but she says basically, like, this probably also happens in my real life, and I'm just not privy to these conversations. So you know what? I'm going to go in, and I'm not going to be so nice anymore. I'm going to play for myself, and I'm glad that she's doing it. I don't feel like we have felt the full impact of that yet, but I am excited to see a new side of Amber, if it's only in the confessionals, at least for now. But for Josh, like, I get the large reaction, especially when it seems like he wasn't confronted on the decision last week, something that I don't remember if you guys touched on, but we did learn, I think, on the aftermath and through Amanda being messy, was that Fessy and Bettina may have been hooking up on the side throughout the season. So that may have been a factor in why he didn't want to throw her in. And so for Josh, it looks like Fessy is picking someone he's hooking up with over Josh's partner. And that's obviously very frustrating. But what I don't get is I don't get Casey taking such a hard stance here.
I had like seven side notes as you were talking there. One I can get back to later. Two, I don't feel like this is any kind of, you know, spoilery or anything. It's just, you know, current social media happenings, but Fessy is currently on a vacation with Amanda. So there's something for anybody's interest. So I don't know what happened with Fessy with Bettina, or because I mean, we saw the Fessy and Amanda connection that was in like episode one or episode before episode one. And now the two of them are seemingly on some kind of vacation together. So I don't really know what's happening, but we'll keep an eye on that.
I'm floored because supposedly all these aftermath episodes seem to have been filmed at the same time. Like they flew the cast out and like, I guess, watched the entire season or at least talked about it before guesting on the aftermath. And it came out that it seems like Fessy and Michelle were hooking up while that filming was going on, and have been somewhat of an item. I think he visited her in Jersey, allegedly. So I am very confused that he is apparently rendezvousing with Amanda in another country.
The Fessy and Michelle thing, you said that was in the aftermath?
Yeah, they talked about it where I think Amanda, like, or someone blatantly called her out that was just like, oh, yeah, well, I heard, like, you've been staying in his hotel room. Like, it was pretty obvious what was being implied.
I'm starting to wonder if I watched last week's aftermath. It doesn't sound familiar, but okay, whatever Michelle makes.
Yeah, and Michelle, basically, when people are confronting her on it, she's just been like, Fessy is a friend. And so, like, no denial, just like there's nothing more than this going on, but it seems like it happened.
Which, by the way, you also didn't get to comment on the leave on the first ever elimination of Queen Michelle Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I refused to acknowledge it. So that's actually why I did not show up.
Yeah, same. And that didn't happen. We just ended up in a new week without her appearing. She is still there somewhere. So I don't know what we were saying. Josh and Amber, yeah, this is, you know, this is still brewing. I think you made a point about, you know, you don't know why Casey's getting involved or something like that. But, you know, we're going to get that scene later in the episode where Josh and Casey kind of go at it in the kitchen a little bit. And Casey's like, you know what? I'm done. I'm out of this. I guess we can kind of just keep this all together here now. You know, yeah, it seems like they're just kind of generally feeling like this is just, you know, the third season in a row that we're doing. Josh is mad about something. Do we give in? Do we butter him up and make him feel better? Like, it's just exhausting at this point. There's, you know, it's still early on. They probably feel, you know, relative, even though Fessy took that shot, I feel like they're still not worried that, like, oh, Josh is going to come after us. It's just like, okay, we're not going to work as closely. He's, you know, whatever the deal may be at this moment. So, I don't know. I guess it's not the biggest loss for Casey to not have Josh 1,000,000% in her pocket at the moment. You know, there's still bigger fish to fry. I don't know.
It's just weird because I feel like, yes, Josh, where he says, like, oh, you call me immature and I act like a kid. And she's like, well, are you not? Like, harsh, but true. But at the same time, like, Josh is not lying where he says, like, I play for us. I'm a super loyal player. Josh, I don't think, has the highest prospects of winning a show. And while he knows that his best bet is to be going against the Devins of the world, he still is actively working to get, like, the Fessies and Caseys to the end, knowing that it's not going to serve him well, and, like, being a great pawn for them in this game and super loyal. So it doesn't make sense for me for Casey to throw him away. I feel like it was a TikTok I saw recently where it was talking about, like, some of your friends have, like, that one flaw, but, like, you accept it or you move on. And Josh's is, like, he blows up sometimes. And, like, for you to have gotten this far with him and, like, now's the deal breaker, I was a little confused.
What's my flaw?
Ooh,
just kidding. I have a lot. my other post-it note that I was going to say before I forget it is, do you think that Josh meant to block Brian Cohen?
That's possible. That is distinctly possible.
But is there any chance?
I mean, it's all on the table.
Okay. Well, we'll continue to try to get to the bottom of this. I won't rest until we do. But yeah. But meanwhile, Josh is also making friends. And that's a sentence I don't usually say. But he's made a connection with Logan, and that's going to get highlighted a bit. Logan's obviously going to be a big player in this episode, as he's going to be in the elimination. He's going to lose his partner. He's forming this bond with Josh where they seem to be, you know, getting closer. And when Logan starts talking eventually about how he wants to potentially go in, Josh is trying to talk him back from it. Logan's also going to have a lot going on in this episode with Big T. So I guess here is an episode where we debut Josh's new best friend, Logan, someone that we should be paying attention to on this season of The Challenge.
I am excited only in that we are starting to see some of the more meaningful relationships between veterans and rookies, because they have been extremely disposable to the veterans, even like Gabo to Nani, where Nani is like very happy to have him along. It's like, yeah, sure, throw yourself into an elimination. That's fine. Whereas I think the same is going on to a point with Logan and the vets, but Josh seems to have a little more of his best interest in mind. There's much more talk of, like, we're going to go far, we're going to work like this. And so I'm interested to see where the rookies fall on the board within the Vet Alliance.
Yeah. And just as far as, like, Logan specifically goes, I mean, the showman's with Big T is one thing. So I don't even know. Do we get into that now? We probably should soon. But yeah, the rookies have nowhere to go right now. They are all scrambling, waiting for it to be their turn to essentially go home, or just take out another rookie and then eventually probably go home. So yeah, no, I definitely don't think that there's anything, well, obviously there's nothing wrong with him making connection with Josh. Make friends with anyone you can. And it seemed like Anissa really seemed to take a liking to Logan, not just because, like, they were partners, but they, I don't know, they just seem to have this connection where when Anissa ends up leaving, she's like hysterically crying, saying, I wanted to do this for him. I wanted to do this, you know, because Logan's such a great guy and I wanted to help him do well in his rookie season, whatever she was saying about all this stuff. So he's, you know, definitely making an impression on these people. So again, I think through five episodes now, or whatever the episodes are before this one, was kind of barely on my radar, besides the fact that he's on my draft team. But he's definitely someone that is now standing out as, you know, keep an eye on this guy.
Yeah, I feel like Logan has not really popped, even through this episode, on TV. but has much more so within the house in terms of made an impression. He seems to have had a great relationship with Anissa, a good one with Josh, even Devin in this episode, Big T, which we'll get to. And, you know, seems like he felt good enough about Nani to go there in terms of his partnership. So I think Logan is fitting in quite well.
I think we just have to go right to Big T and Logan. I mean, happy for both of them. There's nothing that stands out to me from this couple that makes me not happy. I think that they are two great people having a great time. I don't know. In the same way that I've said about Michelle before, if Michelle's happy, I'm happy. If Big T's happy, I'm happy. Logan seems pretty cool, and they seem to be getting along just fine.
Yeah, exactly. I was not surprised. I feel like this was set up last week, but it was played almost with like kid gloves last week. And so for us to have dove into bed all of a sudden by only one episode later, I was a little surprised to move that quickly, but I am happy with this. You know, an attractive couple both enjoying each other's company, like, good for them.
Yeah, and what were you saying last season about how, like, they didn't show anything, and now, you know, we're a little bit more showing a lot of these things this season, so, you know, that's where we are.
Yeah, which also apparently that was a thing. Apparently there's even more hooking up than we're seeing on this season, being hidden in the bathrooms where they just won't follow them, and we'll just leave those storylines on the cutting room floor. So maybe some rule change needs to be made there. But yeah, Nisa says, like, couples are popping up all over the house, and this is one of them, where Logan says that Big T is like an octopus in bed, and she uses her tentacles well.
Moving on.
Like, okay, I mean, said she used them well, I guess it's fine.
What'd you make of Kyle's impression of both of them?
Well, it was weird because Kyle's impression was funny, but then also when he's talking from Logan, he's like, and I don't want to get in your pants. It's like, they just were in bed together in the previous scene, and tentacles were exchanged. So I was like, maybe Kyle's not up on what's been going on.
I feel like Kyle hasn't been as funny this season.
Not quite. I would say he's one of the better confessionalists, so it's a high bar, but I don't think he's hit his stride quite yet.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, because I again, always talk about who's, you know, narrating the season, and I feel like Kyle and Anissa usually get so much more airtime. Anissa, it now makes sense as to, you know, why maybe she hadn't been used as much. Kyle, I feel like, has been quieter. He had that one episode where he had zero confessionals, and or maybe I'm just not, or like I said, maybe he's just not as funny. I don't know. Maybe I'm just not paying enough attention, but I feel like he's been quieter.
He had a super quiet stretch last season where I remember people being like, wait, is Kyle still on the show? So I just expect he'll pop up when he's a little more relevant. He was used pretty well when it was the Kyle and Devin drama of it all.
Yeah, for sure. You know, last week, it's not like he hasn't been on the show. I just mean, like, as far as like his usual funny confessionals go, I'm like, where is all that stuff?
Yeah, I don't know if he just needs some softer targets or what the case is, because I don't think we've been getting as many one-liners from him.
Being a soon-to-be dad is changing him.
Oh, wow. Devin's going to dump him even sooner.
Yeah. Also, there's a child screaming outside my window. I have no idea if that's going to get picked up, but, like, that's distracting.
It could be Kyle's.
It could be. Maybe it is. It's definitely not Big T and Logan's, so that's something that we can be, you know, sleeping well knowing. But, yeah, so that's what's going on there.
It also just could be Josh.
It also could be Josh, but I don't want Josh to block me the way that he blocked you, so Scally said it, not me.
I have nothing to lose.
I guess not. Just as far as other romances go, we should swing back to the beginning of the episode where Michelle left Emmanuel a little note on her way out, and about, let's see, 60 seconds, 61, 62, 63 seconds after Michelle's out of the house, Tori is going to swoop on in and try to make a connection with Emmanuel herself.
This is three episodes into the season, and it's five episodes into the season, and it's the third guy that Tori has had a storyline with already, which I'm not hating, but like, I'm a little surprised from Kells to Ed to Emmanuel.
So are we on the same page? Are we all thinking the same thing when it comes to Emmanuel, especially as it relates to Tori? Like,
I've heard a lot of this. I generally don't look at people's similarities as closely as other people do. But I understand the comparison.
Right. So Emmanuel, in a couple of ways, strongly resembles the ex-fiance of one Tori Deal. Definitely has got some Jordan vibes going. And I am just not surprised to see this potential pairing happening. I hate it because I really was about to stand and ship Michelle and Emmanuel, but if she's not it, she's not there. And if Tori's making her move, and Emmanuel literally said like, oh, I guess I need someone else to cuddle, like, or whatever he said. So if this is going to be a thing, okay.
Yeah. And right after Emmanuel screams, I love you to Michelle as she is exiting the arena. So didn't even wait till the body was cold on that one, Tori.
Yeah. So we'll see about that. And okay. I was going to tie Tori into the next thing, but we'll hold off on that. Other things that we get to before the challenge itself. It's the Gabo and Nani, 20 minutes here where the two of them check in. Gabo's not feeling pretty great about his spot in the game. Later he's going to check in with Emmy about, the two of them are just kind of having a little team bonding, if you can call it that. It's really no bonding happening here because Emmy is like very, like, her head is in the game. She is focused on what's happening. She knows what a bad position they're in, and you know, she's not feeling great about it. Gabo, who's only here to party and drink and have fun, is like not enjoying this downer vibe that Emmy's bringing. So he's having himself quite the week as he, you know, transitions into this new phase of the game where he's in trouble. And you know, we see a little bit with Huey and Nani as well. So lots happening here in this part as we are seeing Gabo for the first time. And of course it's on his elimination episode.
Yeah. I mean, he popped up at the beginning in like episode zero. He really was a presence, but he kind of went quiet for a little stretch here, only for him to pop back up saying that he wants to win so he can party all day, all night, which, like, relatable content, but Gabo does not seem to have his head in the game all the way here.
No, he wanted to buy sports cars and watches and help his family, but also party all day and all night. Yeah, so that's his motivation. That's fine. Cool. Not really going to happen because he is not our challenge champion. He's now out of the game. In his final hours, he was sitting here with Emmy as a partner. And, again, no week is ever going to provide us with enough Emmy time unless, like, the entire episode is about her, and still may not be enough Emmy time. But, of course, like, at the end of the challenge, Emmy threw her usual, like, not happy she lost the challenge deal, and CT comes over to, like, you know, make her feel better, and I don't know, just love that whole thing. It's just the dynamic between Emmy and Gabo was definitely piquing my interest, only to be beat, I'm sure, next week by Emmy and Huey being together.
Ooh. Emmy and Gabo are so opposite, where he said, like, I just want to have good vibes and you are bad vibes. Like, you are taking this so seriously and that's all she wants him to do. But Gabo's here for fun. Emmy is here to compete. And those are not lining up at all, where I feel like, I don't know that I would say Huey is here like fully to compete, but I would say him and Emmy are much more similar than Emmy and Gabo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could say that. So that'll be fun when we get those two officially together.
Ooh, fun's a word.
Yeah, the daily challenge next week is going to be, I don't know if we know what it is. If it was shown in the preview, I don't remember. But just watching the two of them communicate in next week's episode is just going to be, you can already tell, it's going to be
I'm so scared for it. Yeah. I'm so scared. I love Emmy. I'm really scared.
And you know what? We made it, we're 5 weeks into the season and she's still here. So, every week is a win that she sticks around, especially fair. When it seems like her number could be up at any moment, with these rookie eliminations. But as far as Gabo's partner goes, or his ex-partner, a little bit on Nani here, because the theme of this episode, and I kind of just want to talk about this now, I guess, is Nani being pulled as one of the, you know, best options for a partner to be stolen. She's checking in with Huey at the beginning of this episode, trying to like calm him down and make sure that like they're going to be a good team together, which Huey obviously was not with Ashley after the time that they had spent together. And then later on, we're going to get the scene when they go out drinking at night where Nani's talking to Gabo, right, about how, you know, she's mm-hmm. like, you're underestimating yourself, you can't do that, I did that for so many years, and you know, I wish I could. She's kind of saying that, you know, she wishes she had never doubted herself in the way that she did, and she doesn't want other people to have to do it. So she's really kind of being like the challenge mom, being there for all of them. And I don't know, it's just like, you know, when you have a player as veteran as Nani is, I kind of love these moments where they're like, look, I've been here before, and I am, you know, it's not about the challenge, it's not about the game or whatever, it's just about like, there's something that is in front of you right now, this challenge that you're facing, that you don't feel great about. Like, I'm telling you, you can do it. Like, I love to be in that Nani position where like I can tell someone, like, I see, like, especially like I work with a lot of younger kids, like the like high schoolers, and like I see a lot of times that they end up in situations where they're worried about, you know, whatever, starting college and this and that, and I always like love where I can like just sit down with them for a second and be like, relax, like, you are going to be fine. So I just like kind of connected with Nani in this moment here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nani's always been a good partner, especially to rookies. I mean, she and Turbo had a great partnership on War of the Worlds, so it wasn't surprising for me to see her and Gabo work well together, even though Gabo and Turbo are very opposite. But Nani has always had like a good like presence. She is easy to work with. She has like a good knowledge base, and she is like very social and well set up within the game. The problem is when like Huey makes a good move in trying to, you know, go ahead and select her as his partner. Obviously you picked her for a reason, and everyone is going to analyze, oh yeah, that is a good move as well. So I think Nani is much more of a hot commodity this season than we may have thought she would have been.
I mean, she's every draft we do ever into the future and today, and every time she continues to always be that person where you can be confident that even if you pick her as like the last round pick, like, she will be there for the entire season. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's nothing to worry about. She has just got way too many connections. She is not bad at the game. She's talks about how, you know, I've been underestimated. She is always underestimated. Do we ever like, and I guess we'll continue to underestimate her because, simply for the fact that like she hasn't gotten her win yet, but she came super close last season, and who's to say that it can't happen at any moment's notice. She just is always going to be so well set up. So I don't even know where I'm going with this, but just kind of praising Nani, which is crazy to me because I was thinking while I was watching this, I was like, the growth, you know, we talk about the growth of like CT, you know, over how his challenge career and how it's like one of the most amazing things to watch. Even though he kind of takes many steps backwards when he's yelling at Big T and we don't, you know, whatever. But I was thinking back to like Nani's like early days in the challenge, and like the one line that always sticks out to me is when there was the whole fight with Frank, and Frank was yelling at Dustin, and the two of them were getting into it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I remember that fight.
And Nani, like, at, what did Frank was like making fun of Dustin because he does porn, and he was like, "Yeah, you suck for money," and Nani's like, "Yeah, and you do it for free," and like, that's so bad. But I just couldn't stop thinking about that because I was like, "How is this the same person?" But I mean, it just kind of shows you that, like, oh, you know, just, I don't know, age and maturity, this isn't really the same person that she was back then. And I don't know, I'm just on a Nani rant here.
Yeah, that fight was dark on all sides.
Oh yeah, and there was more about drug. Yeah. Not a fun episode to go
no
back
one
to, but
came out of that fight looking good.
No.
But yeah, Nani is definitely a completely different person, a different character than when she started on the series. I would say that we still have elements of that character come out when she drinks occasionally, but I feel like it's once, maybe twice a season at most. So she's completely filling a different role. I would say Nani is a little bit less competitive than she used to be in terms of a winner potential, but super solid socially and in terms of getting to the end. It's just that final that will always worry me for Nani.
I know what you mean by, you know, saying she's less competitive than she used to be. And like, you know, maybe back then she would have been more of a candidate to win getting to mm-hmm. that final. But now where she is, she's always making it there. She's always making it either right before the final, making it to the final. She's always getting to the end, which gives her a better shot at winning the final than it does going out mid-season. So
yeah, I mean, there's two ways to look at it.
There's only two ways, no more. No more ways to look at it. Sorry, anybody else out there, if you have more ways.
That's it.
All right, I can stop talking about Nani now. I don't know, I just, this whole episode I was like,
did she go home
Nani.
Or
no, you think that, like, well, I mean, I really don't feel like she's going to be done anytime soon. Not that I want her to be. But like, I'm just wondering if, like, whenever she does know that it could be her last season, if she does like the Leroy kind of thing, like, that, get like, give me my flowers, I'm done.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't see why not. But I also don't know that Nani is going to be making that call.
Yeah,
necessarily.
I don't know. I don't think she's going anywhere.
I don't think so either. For
especially
quite some time.
If Casey and her, you know, stay strong here. So
that's also true. We are short for veterans, so I don't think mm-hmm. that Nani's spot is in jeopardy.
Yeah. Let's talk about the challenge and of course what the challenge is going to end up leading to here, an injury taking out one Anissa from the game. This challenge was called Minefield. You know, a puzzle, math problems, put the puzzle together, race, climb over a wall, just, you know, your typical challenge. Nothing that stood out to me as being too extraordinary, but that's how I feel almost every week. Anything special about this challenge to you aside from, well, not that Anissa getting DQ'd is special, but you know what I mean.
I think that this was actually like a well set up challenge where most people have a legitimate chance to win, and there are actual elements to this challenge more so than a lot of the others. It wasn't as flashy. It didn't make for particularly great TV either. But I thought it actually tested the teams more than a number of other challenges would.
I'll read you the note directly from my notes. This whole challenge was just to get everybody naked and muddy, and you know what, ... you can imagine. So
it worked.
That's what this challenge was about. By the end of it, all of them were, you know, half naked and muddy. So that's, I think, what they were going for. And, that's what they accomplished. Some OnlyFans promo for every single one of the cast members, except for Anissa, who, yeah, her shoulder, seemingly popped out during the, while she was getting down from the wall or climbing up the wall, whatever way she was going on the wall. She was down bad and had to get taken by medical to the hospital. And as Big T said, I think in the after show, you know, once you get taken to the hospital, you are super lucky if you get to make it back in the house. Most people get the bad news that they're out of the game at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where are the days of, what was it, Stephanie on Survivor popping out her shoulder and jumping right back into the game? So I always, that gave me the impression that, like, oh, you're fine, just rub some dirt on it. But no, it has been shown that popping your shoulder out is going to be very dangerous. It, pretty much as soon as it happened, I knew that this is where we're losing Anissa. And I have wanted to lose some vets, but definitely not this way. Not particularly looking to lose Anissa either, so definitely upset that this happened.
Yeah, and can't say I'm surprised that this happened, because hashtag social media. So the, you remember the challenge, the challenge all-stars, what was it, like the finale party, the one where they were at like Michael Jackson's house or something like that, in LA, that Mark Long hosted or something. It was a couple weeks back, and there was clips of Anissa there, and I think her arm was in some kind of like sling or something like that. And I was like, oh, something happened up there, and you know, here's the episode where it happens. So that's
all right. Well, then I'm curious to see, because I believe she's not on the All-Stars 2 cast.
No.
I'm curious to see if this is something that's going to affect her for seasons going forward, in, like, you know, especially the upcoming immediate next season. I am was hoping to get an update on the aftermath, but we did not. So I'm curious how bad it actually was.
I mean, as far as like her social media goes, I haven't seen anything that's been like, you know, well, then again, she would be hiding it, right? If this hadn't happened yet at this point. So I take that back. But I don't know, maybe she'll post any kind of update sometime soon to be like, no, I'm fine. No, I'm good. Whatever it is.
Yeah.
So we'll see how that all goes. But yeah, this is going to end up with a CT and Berna win. We can talk about them in a second. But as far as Anissa's goodbye goes, yeah, this is early for Anissa to go, especially, you know, since she's been back lately. She's been going deep, I think, at least in the last two seasons, if not three, but I think it's been two. And when she gets back to the house and she finds Tori and they're crying together and she needs Tori's help showering. And it's just, you know, kind of a role reversal for these two, because as Anissa mentioned, I think on the podcast, Tori has gone home back to back seasons in this spot, and this time it's Anissa leaving.
Yeah, and I definitely like Anissa more in general, but I feel like we've had a lot of Anissa, so I am not happy this happened. I didn't want it to happen. I would rather have Anissa on the show, but I'm also okay with having the break from Anissa if it was going to be someone. I'm a little sad, but we'll see her soon.
Yeah, like Ashley said, you know, I never would want one of my friends to get hurt, but like, this is a good thing for her game. So that's something that, you know, I'm always happy for Ashley's game to be doing better. it's just weird to comment things like this when it's like at the expense of somebody getting, you know, hurt pretty severely. But I feel, you know, the same way that you just said it, exactly. Like, we got, you know, two full seasons of Anissa, and especially the All-Star season as well was pretty Anissa heavy with the drama. So, you know, it's sucks that she had to go out this way, but as far as like enjoying this season of television, it's I'm not feeling a huge loss of a big character. I feel like we'll be okay.
Yeah, we'll see her back. I'm not worried about
of
that
course
either.
It's so. Anissa, who, like, exactly, you know, one of the people that TJ could rave about for hours and days and years. So but yeah, any thoughts about the challenge with these two winners here, Berna and CT?
Not surprising. I mean, as soon as CT like gets to the puzzle, like, call it, it's over. So I was excited to see Casey and Emmanuel get there first and was thinking maybe they would take this home, but nope, as soon as CT gets there, it's all his.
We'll talk about the nominations led by CT and Berna in a second, but anything from you on the night out that we got to see? We already talked about the Nani and Gabo thing, but I don't know. Do you want to share your well thought out comments on Ed's dancing?
Everybody knows that Ed dances, so, you know, not super surprising. I feel like I've seen those moves plenty of clubs. So, like Emmanuel said, Ed might need some dancing lessons, but he did just fine.
Yeah, people, you know, I think they said it on the after show when he kind of joined the game, that apparently everybody loves Ed. So Tori had that confessional saying she loves his energy. She's glad that they're partnered. So I don't know. Just seems like a lovable guy to these cast members. And, you know, we'll have to see how his season plays out. But, you know, definitely could see the possibility for him to return already just because he's so well liked.
Yeah, I think this is the show for Ed, and I think that has been very quickly realized. I was surprised he was an alternate, but as fate had it, he ended up on the show, and I think that he will be ending up on the show more in the future.
So we'll see about that. But when we get to the nominations, yeah, so CT leading the way here. It's funny to see CT in this kind of spot because I feel like he does so well early on in these games when he can stay quiet and be kind of in the background. But when you win a challenge, the attention's all on you. So, you know, things start to play out here with, you know, and then Festy gets involved and Logan was, you know, making his pitches, and Logan wanted like everything involved with making these decisions to go in, and then CT getting annoyed. So I don't know what was going on here.
I mean, leave it to CT, though, where he wins power and is actually going to have to, like, show the most minor of cards by throwing in a rookie, and two rookies volunteer to go in. So, like, of course, he escapes completely unscathed.
Yeah. I mean, he was making it, you know, zero fun for anyone. He's like, look, so we all know the deal here. Probably not going to even have to send a woman in. Like, it's going to be two guys going in. So, like, let's just do this. He wants to go in. He wants to go in. We're going in. So what's the story?
Yeah, but you know what? Thank God for Huey.
Because yeah.
Huey's drama. Huey's constant drama. I am still not Huey's biggest fan. I did not like him on his previous show, and I was not convinced of his casting, but I feel like Huey is really selling the case for him to come back on a future season already also.
He certainly is. He gets upset. I don't know why. I watched the episode twice, and I still don't know what Gabo did to piss Huey off.
They're calling him a snake and a bad person. Screaming. And it's always a snake and a bad person. They're calling me a bad person. okay. We get it.
It's actually really great when he talks like super fast when he gets annoyed and upset, and like you can't even begin to try to stop him because he's just so worked up that he's talking so fast. Yeah, he's definitely bringing the drama.
I love Ashley, though. Like, there's the two sides of, like, Ashley, his former partner, being like, shut up, sit down, you're gonna get yourself thrown in. And Nani is standing behind him just, like, laughing. Like, this is entertainment. This is fine. I don't care if he goes in. Like, I will gladly have him go in, and then someone else can pick me. Like, that's fine. I don't need Huey. But Ashley actually cares about him and is just screaming at him while Huey cannot control himself. Like, no, I'm not a bad person.
Literally, like, everybody at the table was like, Huey, shut up. Like, this is not about you. You're not going in.
It was so funny.
The elimination is set. It's going to be Logan and Gabo. You are out of this one, my guy. Sit down.
I'm curious for a Josh Huey fight.
Oh, we are not ready for that one. No.
Yeah. That's going to be drama.
No. We are not ready. But we'll manifest it. We'll wait for it.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Yeah. And then the other drama here, Fessy and Amber, where Fessy, like the bonehead he is, makes a stupid comment. Everyone's been playing such a straightforward game so far. Like, Amber, it's not even like she has to, like I'm somebody who, like, I can't hide my emotions. Like, you see it on my face the second that you say something to me. And Amber, I don't feel, is always the same way. I feel like she can hide it better, especially if they're playing a game here. And the fact that, like, after Fessy said that, like, it just popped right out. She's like, really? Like, you really just said that after what you just did? Like, really? She's like, it's fine. No, we don't have to do it right now. I didn't even mean to say it. Just really? You just really said that?
Yeah. And you know what? Like I said, I'm glad for Amber to stand up for herself, to feel free to say what she wants to say. You know, Amber went home with $500,000 or whatever the prize was last year. So she can afford to be a little mouthier this season.
She did. And as I tweeted, she's been the confessional look that she had going in this episode. She looked amazing. I don't know. I mean, obviously, I know what it is. Her hair looked, different. She's got her hair straightened, and she's got like the little like thing. I don't know how to describe hair, but she looked great.
I was like, all right, where are we going?
I don't know where we're going. I just think she looked great. And I wanted to tweet about it and talk about it.
Well, there we go.
Big Amber B stan going into. Oh, I said Amber B. Oops.
Yeah, always will.
Always will. Just call me Fessy. I'm always going to do it. So yeah, that's the nominations. And, we're going to eventually, of course, end up seeing this Gabo versus Logan elimination. The little bit of setup before we get there is Big T and Priscilla talking about how Big T does feel something for Logan. So she's worried that he actually could be going home. And Gabo wants to, you know, prove that he's got more than just popcorn muscles to go back down there and win Nani back.
Equally touching storylines.
But like, Big T, you just met him.
I know, whatever. We haven't really had a Big T love storyline on the show, so I'm glad that there is attention in any manner.
Yeah. And he stayed in the house, so that's, you know, another number on Big T's side, and I will take any numbers on Big T's side right now. So
agreed.
So that's that. The elimination is going to be Gabo versus Logan. Said that 10 times already. And TJ does his usual tease, which seems to get the cast members. I don't know if they're just playing it up, but does seem to get them. I mean, they're paranoid as hell at every second of the day, so it probably does get them. For the rest of us watching at home, we're like, really? You're going to do this again?
Yeah, just roll my eyes. We're wasting a couple minutes. Like, I would have rather seen another conversation, guys. We didn't need to cut to commercial on this.
I never said the women were off the hook. Commercial break. I mean, they are, but don't assume anything. Like,
okay. Yeah. We're good, TJ.
This elimination is another puzzle involved where you got to climb up the rope and go down, match the answers. And, of course, we're going to end up seeing that as close as it was, It seemed like Gabo had a chance here for sure, but Logan's going to get the big win here.
Yeah, I thought like good strategy by Devin pointing out like even when you're at the top, you can look down and check your work like very easily being able to see both boards. Mm-hmm. But Gabo came closer than I think a lot of us probably thought he was going to come. So good for him. I very much enjoyed him praying to Mike the situation. So
yeah, I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, it's like that's the kind of thing that I feel like they insert into an episode just so that podcasters have a great time talking about it, and I don't know, I feel like they're just dangling the bait in front of me and I don't want to be the fish that catches the bait like and gets caught.
Seemed like he said it in the elimination, like it sounded like the soundbite was either inserted decently or like actually was said in the moment, because it didn't, he like talks about it then again in his confessional being like, I'm praying to Mike the situation, but like there was definitely a quote like, Mike the situation, listen to my praying. Right. So
recently announced today, Celebrity Big Brother is back. Is Mike the situation the highest likely person that we would get on that show of any Jersey Shore cast members?
Ooh, probably. I could see Adina.
Adina is a fan.
I would love a Sammy.
not happening.
Yeah, I don't think it's happening at all. But I don't think any of them are likely, considering that they are actively employed. But I would say Mike and Dina are probably the top two on the board.
I feel like one or two of them has been on Dancing with the Stars. I mean, Snooki was definitely on a couple of years ago. But
that does not involve, like, there's 0% chance Snooki's going on this.
Well, like, yeah, that, I mean, it especially involves... now she's got like a whole company for, you know.
Herself. Locking themselves in a house without, like, they don't, half of them don't want to film the Jersey Shore at all because they're away from their family, let alone having zero contact with them at all.
True, but I don't know, maybe the check was right. I don't know.
I'm sure the MTV one is doing fine.
Yeah. So yeah, praying to Mike the situation. I mean, we've all been there. I just didn't think we were still there in 2021. So, you know, that's fine. I do kind of feel like this is going to end up being Gabo's legacy on the challenge, popcorn muscles and praying to Mike the situation, because personally, I don't know that I feel he's coming back.
I don't know. You know what? Like, sending him out, I'm doing my pumped Gabo flex for him, but which I thought was cute. Everyone sending him out, like flexing with him, but I think it's possible. I was going to say, like, compared to the people who have gone home already, where do you think he falls?
Who's gone home already? I mean, don't put me on the spot like that. I mean, Michaela is going to be at the top of the board, most likely to return, because I'm just going to manifest that. But
over Michelle.
He's above Kells. Okay, I pulled up the draft. He's above Kells. He's above Tracy. I do feel he's above Corey. Who the hell is Renan? I'm going to hold out hope for Tatcha coming back, but I don't know. He's above Tommy. Michelle's above him. I don't know.
All right. That's I wouldn't have put him above Corey, but I think it's within the possibilities. I think considering many of these rookies are going to be going home very early, I think anyone who has like a thing or a storyline at all is really in contention. So I would not bet on it, but he's in like the top five range out of who's gone home so far.
Yeah, no, you're right. He's definitely below Corey. I misspoke there, but, there's still so many people that are going to go home and, depending on, you know, how many of them get brought back. I don't know. I just don't totally see it.
I wish, so though. I would like a lot more of these people to get a second chance on a season where they actually have a chance.
Also, I'm suing MTV because they have Amanda back and they're using her for confessionals where she says, you're from Hungary. You need to be hungry for this money. I'm like, get out of my face. Like,
yeah,
she does not deserve this.
Yeah, that was bad. That was bad.
It was so bad. Like, the lawsuit is coming from from Matt Liguori to MTV. So
it was embarrassing. For it.
Oh my God. Need better for Amanda, in all aspects. So the fact that she's on vacation with Fessy, I need better for her. So we're going to see the partner situation here at the end. Logan has a decision to make. He obviously has no partner right now. Anissa is no longer in the game. She's been deactivated, and he's going to take the hottest commodity on the board right now, Nani.
Yeah, and I feel like this is a solid partnership. I feel like Nani is a great stand-in for Anissa. I feel like they'll have a very similar dynamic and work well together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I already have my answer prepared for you because for some reason, for the first time in two seasons, I thought about it while I was rewatching the episode. The person who does the best out of all this is obviously Logan. He's now got a veteran partner and, you know, Nani with the most connections here. Nani, second best here because Logan is a perfectly fine partner for her. Followed by Emmy, followed by Huey. I think Emmy benefits a little bit here from having Huey as a partner because I feel like when, okay, where am I going with this?
Interesting.
Where am I going with this? I had the logic in my head while I wrote it down. I think it just, I was feeling that, you know, Huey does seem like he wants to prove himself. And I feel like Huey's motivation to be on the show and to continue competing is higher than Gabo's was, who just wanted to party and drink and stuff. So I think that's where I was going with it. And then Huey goes to the bottom of the list because he's with Emmy.
He's going from Nani to Emmy.
Yeah.
Huey and Emmy, we talked about them already, but I am scared.
Yes.
That is a dynamite pairing. Obviously they are going to be the targets next week and neither of them is going to take it well. I don't want to lose Emmy. I am scared of their reactions. It's gonna be an interesting one.
Mm-hmm. I want to play this out though, so like let's throw a random team on the board that wins. Let's say CT and Berna win again, why not? So Emmy and Huey are the house vote, right? So they're going in. And then who do CT and Berna pick to go against them? Do we want Emmy and Huey to go home, or do we want, yeah, we probably want them to go home. It's the rookie team. So what do we throw in? Ed,
I mean, who cares if they go home? If Ed and Priscilla get thrown in, they're also a rookie team. They can go home instead.
So yeah, this format's great.
Yeah, what a great format. Yay. Yeah, it's been rough. So I don't know how they didn't see this. It's annoying.
I don't know. Are we going to go all season with this? Or
I think we are, but I'm hoping not. I mean, I think we are, though.
Who is it this week they were talking about? You know, it's not like there's gold skulls in play. It was like, yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it was the like Kyle Devin CT meeting. Like, ha, 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 we're just going to have an easy path to the final eight. And I'm like, no.
Yeah, let's take CT farther in the game again. That works out well for us. Yeah.
I'm not thrilled.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's fine. It's fine. Go ahead.
I was just going to say next week is the Big Brother fight, so I'm excited for that.
That is true. I'm scared for that, but yes.
I think we'll be okay. It's not Josh and Huey, so.
That's true. That's true.
Amber and Fessy, we can, we'll be okay.
Yeah, that'll be fine.
What did we not talk about? Anything? Did we miss anything so far here?
I think we basically got everything. Right?
Okay. With our draft with Colin and Haley, who lost? So you lost Anissa, and who else went home? Where are you? Gabo was on Colin's team. I don't want to give out point totals right now because I don't feel like I've done them correctly. We might need to revisit the whole last longer points because I feel like it's going to what Colin's fear was in the past, just put some people way out of it. And I don't think we need that. So we'll talk about points in another time. But as far as it looks like, I am in the lead, followed by Scally, followed by Haley, followed by Colin. In the must-lose draft, we just got an update right before we got on here. So let me pull that up real quick. But it looked like you had a good week and I had another boring week.
I had an okay week minus Logan winning an elimination, but up to 4 points for me, a total.
Wait, how did you
of
get 4 points with 2 + 1 - 1?
Shh, don't tell them. I'm at a total of 4 because I had 2 last week week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, 19 total for us, whereas they are at 18.5. We have a 0.5 lead.
Wow, doesn't get closer than that, folks.
I know, and I'm nervous. I'm pretty nervous. I'm not doing great in our drafts, I will say.
That's fine. I mean, it's fine for at least the must-win draft. You better not drag us down in the must-lose draft.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I feel like I have a lot of people who I don't feel like are going home super soon, but I don't see doing particularly well. Huey and Bettina, like, oh, stop it. Please, like, stop it.
What are you doing here?
What are you doing here?
And yeah, no, I'm not even gonna say the A word of the player with an A on your team that is still here and still doesn't feel real that that person is still here, but we're gonna roll with it as far as we can. So,
exactly,
love that. So yeah, quick draft update for y'all, and I don't know, is there anything else? We kind of touched on some stuff from the aftermath. We kind of touched on a little bit, or I made one comment from the podcast. They had one of the showrunners on with Torian and Anissa this week, so yet again, we are at a situation where Torian and Anissa will be podcasting about the season with one of them not really on it, so this time it's Anissa if we're going to follow this story.
Yeah, let's say just let's get some names on the board. If you're looking at the rookies we have left and you had to pick one male, one female rookie to go the furthest, who are you looking at?
Well, the answer for the guys is easy. I still feel as good about Emmanuel that I did early on. And the fact that like every like episode, every two episodes, it's like this person's a beast. He is mm-hmm. so good. And he does see, like, saw him in the challenge. He took off like in seconds. So feeling good about him. And I think I'm just going to stick with my team here and just say Berna for the women. I feel like she's still got a good partner. I mean, she's still got probably Ashley breathing down her neck with the whole Nelson stuff. But I don't know. I mean, you said rookie, right? Just talking rookie. So who are the options left? Berna.
We're down to so few rookies now that I'm looking at this.
Yeah, and Priscilla. So, I mean, that's pretty easy, actually. Berna over Bettina and Priscilla. Like, just seems like she's definitely the standout there.
I would say Esther is the only one.
Oh, I'm sorry. Esther, I didn't even see Esther was still there. She's mm-hmm. definitely the standout entertainment-wise, for sure.
Yeah, I think she's really good. And, I mean, hey, she's won two dailies, so I am not counting Esther out.
But did she take circus classes in high school?
That is true. No circus classes. But, I mean, for us to only be left with what, like, five rookies of each gender at this point is when we had so many coming in, it's frustrating to say mm-hmm. the least.
Yeah, it is. The season, I would say, is kind of going by fast to me, if anybody cares, because like, I don't know, the fact that like, it's not like when we were watching last season and like, it was still like total quarantine, total lockdown. It was like, you know, really not going anywhere. It was going so slow, but like, obviously things are a little bit different right now. So I feel like it's been flying by for me and I'm not mad about it.
Mm-hmm. I do feel the same. Given how the season's going, I would not be mad to move right on to season 38. Yeah. No, I'm still enjoying it. I really love the cast still, regardless of how it's playing out. I really, really like these rookies, which is why I'm hoping to get to see a lot of them get another chance, even if some of my favorites aren't the ones that are sticking around the longest. So I am keeping my fingers crossed for that.
For sure. My final comments here, I want to shout out and send some love out there to Challenger, or I guess, I don't know if you can call him former Challenger, but Tony Raines, as sent to you earlier, and some of our pals. Tony did not have a great week, to say the least. The hurricane that recently hit us, you know, well, actually, it hit a lot of the country, but it went all over the place and caused a lot of damage. And specifically Tony, his house, his family saw a lot of damage from it. And are he and Alyssa, they're not married, right? Are they engaged? I'm not too sure.
I believe they were engaged. I don't know to be sure.
I'm not sure the status, but the person that Tony is with, the mother of one of his children, seemed to be pretty badly injured in that. She seems like she will be okay. You know, definitely is doing better, I guess, now than she was a couple days ago from the update that he gave. So I don't know, just wanted to send some good vibes and thoughts out to them, and in case anyone didn't know about it, that, you know, had some pretty bad damage over there, and just glad that they're all okay and still all with us.
Mm-hmm. My boy Tony, I am hoping for a speedy recovery for the family and for the household.
Yeah, very, very scary. Like, I mean, I guess kind of like a trigger warning, if anybody does go to read that post, it's just kind of like very scary, the situation that they were in. So but again, does seem like everybody will be okay in the long run, so, you know, grateful for that, for him and for them.
Same.
So that is that for this week of the challenge, and plenty more weeks to come. And in the meantime, you can catch Scally podcasting about more than just the challenge, because recently you were on.
Oh, I was on the Wednesday Big Brother recap over on RHAP, talking about this season of Big Brother, which I won't spoil how the final six went, but just the night before the double eviction, forecasting how that might go. That was a lot of fun. And I will be on the 90 Day Fiancé wrap up, talking about 90 Day Fiancé the other way with Puya this upcoming week. So that should be a ton of fun. And anything else I'm doing will be on Twitter at Brian_Scally as usual.
There it is. I got nothing else to plug, so we'll get you guys out of here. Follow us on Twitter. Of course, I'm at Matt Liguori. Scally is at Brian_Scally. Here's something that we never talk about, and I'm very happy that remembered today. Leave us some reviews. Go over to the Apple Podcast app and leave reviews, or whatever app you get your podcast from. I don't know, just go pop in there on the Dom and Colin feed and give, you know, a nice little 5-star review. You can write about how much you love Dom or Colin, but mainly me and Scally. You know, show some love. Why not?
Mm-hmm. That's definitely helpful, you know, for people to find us.
Yeah, I think so. At least that's what I've heard.
From
what I've heard, it is helpful when you leave a review, because then people will find us. So
exactly.
Definitely do that. If you got like 2 seconds and you've enjoyed even 2 seconds of our content that we've been putting out for what, like 3 years now? I don't know. It's been a while.
Yeah. Four? Quite a while now.
Quite a while. We're not very old, but we're getting old.
I'm except not aging, so.
You're not old. You will never be old. Yeah. I'm old. I'm getting old.
No, no.
Sometimes my body hurts and it's not a good sign, but that's all of us.
Well, there you go.
All right. What am I talking about? Okay. Thank you guys for listening. It's time for me to go to bed. We will see you next week. Take care.